Weekend with Maslow, Part 8, from the Abraham Maslow Audio Collection. This recording was made in January 1966 at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California. Note that short gaps exist in this program as a result of tape changes conducted by hand during the event. Recordings from the Maslow Audio Collection are available from abrahammaslow.com.
I see this as transitional. It'll come through. The younger women that I see as developing in this direction of self-actualization are having a hard time with it. They have to search their souls, and they get psychoanalyzed and so on. It's a rough, they don't have precedence, so to speak, and they get confused about what femininity means. And they have to detach themselves from all the nonsense of the previous century. But if you're smart, that's not feminine. You know, that kind of junk. It's false. It's not true. This is what I see. There's a private language. In our family, we talk about the Brattle Street faces. Now, Brattle Street is in Cambridge, and there's a movie there where it plays the foreign films, and we go there occasionally. And here where the Harvard kids and the Radcliffe kids hang out, and the other MIT, and so on. And they're sort of self-selected. There's a little coffee house. These are the most sensitive, perceptive, delicate, ontologically beautiful, not Hollywood stuff. The most love-worthy people, if I can, the nicest looking ones, and we have in mind in our family a particular kind of face. Well, there are a lot of Brattle Street faces around here. It means perceptive, perspicuous, intelligent, sensitive, kind, well-intentioned, good motives, and so on. Now, maybe also confused. Because we don't have a model. Young women just get all mixed up. Whom do they imitate, anyway?
Well, as you said at one point, not to be confused would be a sign of sickness.
Well, in
our culture, as you wrote, and I think it's true that confusion is a message, I think.
No, what I mean here is that the young women that I work with and watch and pick out sometimes for interviewing, that these women are confused even about the proper goals. That's what I mean. That is, when they go toward their very best selves, they get frightened and think this is not feminine and so on. It's the definitions of femininity that they have to drop. Then they also get mixed up because a self-actualizing woman takes a particular kind of man. You're quite right about this. And then there's that sort of confusion about a woman, a young woman, she likes some guy, she'd like to marry him. And yet he is not fully tall, you know, and he needs the sort of thing that you're talking about. She has to make believe that she doesn't play tennis as well as he does, maybe, or something like that. It's a little bit of nonsense. If she likes him well enough, she'll shrug her shoulders and give him a fond kiss and play the games that are necessary. No great harm done if she knows what she's doing. But the young woman, let's say before marriage, and try to figure out whom to marry and whether she should marry and what kind of man, and so I can get, in this sense, mixed up. I think we can help. I think we can help by peeling away the historical nonsense from the conceptions of masculinity and femininity and then starting to speak of them in levels, layers. Masculinity, for instance, is currently defined at an adolescent level through most of our society. If you get the movies and the television and so on, a man is somebody with a tattoo on his thing. Well, any man who has a tattoo on his is guaranteed infantile. But that's what they have. And then the man, he has guns around for shooting things. Well, that's not grown-up stuff as to want to shoot things. Or they have definitely sportsmen, so-called sportsmen. That's very masculine. What does that mean? You sit and watch somebody else do something. We have stupid definitions of masculinity, and it follows, it's very pervasive, so that we have kind of a phallic masculinity at that stage, not fully genital yet, and certainly not post-ambivalent, in the sense of the male who is so sure of, you know, he doesn't question his maleness, therefore he can do anything, it doesn't matter. He can wheel the baby carriage. There's this wonderful story about, I was told, which expresses this, about a torero who came to the door and with an apron, he'd been cooking. And some American made some joke about him, and the Spaniard, with a Spanish pride, drew himself up and said, "Sir, anything I do is masculine." Well, if you have that kind of feeling, then you can permit yourself to pick up some of the excluded portions of human nature which have been defined as feminine by adolescent boys who are so scared of being homosexual. So then you can permit yourself to be fully human. Now, that goes with a conception of femininity, which where we have to peel away, again, historical stuff, and try to ask very specific research questions about what correlates with the ovarian hormones. What are determined by the effect of ovarian hormones, of the anatomy and physiology of reproduction? Freud said anatomy is fate. I don't think so. I think more endocrinology is fate, if any fate at all. And that not a very powerful fate, but there's a push there. Estrogen has effects. Progesterone has effects, characterological effects.